My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. GMO, I welcome Dr. Henry Miller. He's a physician. He is also my guide on GMO. HenryMillerMD.org is where to find Henry's reporting. And I read from a new release from Science Magazine. This is the peer-reviewed top of science reporting in the United States, matched by Nature in Europe. European Parliament votes to ease regulation of gene-edited crops. Subhead, move is a major victory for biotechnology, but debate remains over patents and labels. I know to come to you immediately, Henry, because this looked very positive, but what I've learned from you over the decades we've been talking about GMO is that there's a mania anti-GMO in the U.S. and especially in Europe, and I believe it extends to the subcontinent of Asia. And so every time I see something positive, I'm certain there's a trick here that I can't discern. Is there, Henry, or is this good news? Good evening to you, Dr. Miller.
Good evening, John. We need to a little bit of background here. GMO for genetically modified organism is a kind of mirage. It's a non-category that was created by and is much loved by anti-science activists and by regulators. What it ignores is that we've genetically modified organisms for millennia, first by selection and breeding, and then over the past century, by techniques like mutagenesis, treating seeds with caustic chemicals or with radiation to create mutants, and then selecting for and expanding the mutants that we like. Then we moved on to something called wide crosses or wide hybridization, where we got plants we forced plants to cross natural breeding boundaries, and we got a variety of very important crops that way, and they include wheat, rice, cotton, sugarcane, tomato, chickpea, and triticale, which is a hybrid of wheat and rye. So we've done this for a very long time, but crudely. And then in the 1970s, modern molecular genetic engineering techniques came along, and we began to be able to do genetic manipulation with much more precision and much more predictability. But the activists and regulators seized on the molecular modifications and subjected them to onerous and sui generis regulation. And that's where we still are for the most part. Then we moved on in the last few years to so-called gene editing, which is still more precise, a more precise way of creating genetic mutations to get desired characteristics. And now we have the EU, or the European Parliament in this case, which will pass its decision on to the European Commission, creating yet new pseudo categories of genetic modification. So they have one called NGT1, New Genomic Technology 1, which is indistinguishable from natural breeding. And that pretty much gets a buy from any regulation. Then they have NGT2, New Genomic Technology 2, which is somewhat different, which is very much like the wide crosses or that we've done for almost a century, and that will still be subject to the onerous GMO regulations. The science is just perverted here. Now, the purpose of regulation is to prevent dangerous products or dangerous activities. But the use of these techniques has nothing to do with the risk of these products, except that we understand them better because the techniques are so much more precise and predictable. The risk of products is due to their intrinsic characteristics. So we know, for example, that there are plants that are highly invasive and an environmental nuisance that have nothing to do with genetic engineering. Kudzu and bamboo are two examples of that. We have examples of very toxic plants that, again, have nothing at all to do with genetic modification. They include the death cap mushroom, the Amanita phalloides, one of the most toxic organisms on Earth, the foxglove plant, from which the drug digitalis comes, and so on. So this is sophistry by the European Parliament. It's an example of the old saying that politics is the art of the possible, but it sometimes, as in this case, makes no sense and perverts the science.
What about patents, Henry? I note in an NG2, which is natural plants, you cannot patent. So I can't patent my sunflowers. Okay, fine. But what about patents of NG2? Are they restricting those?
Yeah, yes, they are. That's a very good point. So the prohibiting patents will discourage innovation. It'll discourage the creation of new plants that create novel medicines, for example, or even vaccines. So it's politics at its very, very worst and most ignorant.
Who gains from these regulations? Is it the European Parliament, the European Commission, the EU? What's driving this, Henry? I understand in America we've talked about the organic crowd. Is there a comparable group in Europe?
Oh, yes. It's the organic lobby and the anti-science activists at it yet again. It's we consumers who will suffer from it, and also the scientists who are trying to develop and experiment with new varieties.
What we're talking about, though, is an articulation of gene editing that was only dreamed about 30, 40 years ago when the mania was at its peak. Doesn't CRISPR introduce a subject for conversation so that people can be reassured that these edited plants are safe?
Well, CRISPR, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's the prototype of gene editing. It should be celebrated as an extension of the culmination of molecular genetic modification. It's very precise and very predictable and becoming more so all the time. And yet activists and parliamentarians seem not to understand that at all.
Henry Miller is the Glenn Swager Distinguished Fellow at the American Council on Science and Health. He's a physician. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.